Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Nicole Gelinas is with us. She is, as I told you earlier, Searle Freedom Trust Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a contributing editor to City Journal in New York City. And she reports on urban economic and finance issues. And she's back. She was with us about a year ago. And she's here to talk to us about what's going on down in South Louisiana.
Yes,
Nicole, welcome back. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back. And, you know, Nicole, I used to live in southern Louisiana and for a little while, for about a year and a half or so. And one of the things that always amazed me about, and I think it's important, Nicole, to make a distinction between northern Louisiana and southern Louisiana, because the two parts of those states, of that state, are quite a bit different, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And southern Louisiana, I'll say this, southern Louisiana is, well, let me put this, let me rephrase that. Louisiana politics is the most dysfunctional of any of the states in the United States. Would you agree with that?
I would agree, yes, although I think in some states, particularly in New York State, it's getting worse and worse.
Well, but Louisiana's politics, I mean, you go back to Edwin Edwards, who was elected even as he was about to be indicted, and then subsequently was sentenced to go to jail on graft and corruption, and is still in jail.
Yes.
Louisiana electors, the Louisiana electorate, put him in office even though they knew he basically admitted what he was doing.
Oh yes.
Now, and that's the kind of a political culture that at least the people in southern Louisiana seem to actually be proud of.
Yes, and we'll see if that holds up later in the fall. They have a gubernatorial election coming up in October, is the first runoff, or the first election before the runoff. And there's actually a man, Bobby Jindal, who's running. He's probably, if the voters elect him, which looks like they will, he's probably the best hope for real change.
Is he Republican or Democrat?
He is a Republican, and I think if he does win, it shows that this is a people who is desperate enough that they are actually willing to try something new, which might be competent government. And he, as a very young man in his early to mid-20s, Jindal completely overhauled Louisiana's Medicaid system under Governor Mike Foster, and he's mm-hmm. gone on from there. He has a degree from Oxford, I believe, and you know, he's done some good creative things in government over, and I think he's been out of government recently, but during his late 20s, early 30s, and now he's finally decided, after running once unsuccessfully, that here now is the time where he really has an opportunity.
Well, it'd be hard for me to imagine that anybody would reelect LeBlanc, which I think you told me she's not running again.
No.
The current governor. What a basket case she is. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I'm being hard on the Louisianans is because a lot of the trouble. Now they didn't cause Katrina to push water into their city. But the political structure, and I'm including Nicole, I include the congressional delegation from
sure.
years past, including Republicans like Bob Livingston and Tozan and plenty of Republicans, plenty of Democrats from years past had an opportunity to they had decades to protect that city from a storm like Katrina, and they didn't do it. And it's all part of the festering of a dysfunctional political environment in culture in Louisiana. And the chickens came home to roost with Katrina, God bless them. I've been down there. I'll do anything I can to help them. But if they've got to be able to help themselves, and they can't blame the federal government for their problems.
Yes, and Katrina would have been a challenge for the best government. This is really the worst government, both local and state, for this to happen to. It really exposed the weaknesses of New Orleans and Louisiana to the entire world, really. And it does hurt them in their rebuilding. It's really not so much a question of money, although many, many of the federal dollars sent down there have been allocated very inefficiently by the federal government, and this is a problem of the Bush administration that has not been a good steward of our federal tax dollars. But it does come down in the end to local governance, having a mayor who truly does understand the biggest challenges that face his city and being able to lead the city out of them.
You mean, well, now you said, I want to make sure, you don't think that's Nagin, though, right?
It certainly hasn't been.
Okay. That's what I want to make sure we got that cleared up, because it almost sounded like you were praising Nagin, which I know you're not.
I wish the city had a mayor who could do those things.
That's the point you were wanting to make, exactly.
Oh yes.
What needs to happen, it seems to me, that we need to quit blaming anybody, but say, okay, guys. The city government failed. The state government failed. The federal government has failed. What have we learned from this? We experienced a storm of biblical proportion. What have we learned from this? And how do we fix this? How do we go forward? But even though we shouldn't be blaming everybody, we also should be taking responsibility. And I don't know that New Orleans. The New Orleans and the surrounding parishes are taking responsibility. I don't know if they're doing that yet. Do you know that?
I would say that they are not. The biggest thing that we have to do going forward without assigning blame is to finally get a handle on New Orleans's very horrendous violent crime situation. The homicide rate, the robbery rate, these things were bad before Katrina, but they're much worse per capita today, maybe 40% worse, depending on how many people you think have come back to New Orleans, and there's different estimates.
Hang on a second, Nicole. When we come back after these messages, ladies and gentlemen, I want Nicole to tell us, she actually has wrote an article that appeared in the City Journal, and she and I will be right back after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and the archives and the articles and the newsletter and the blog. Lots of stuff there. Check out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes on Sunday by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And we update the blog every weekday. Check that out, too. It's an audio blog, not like any other blog you've ever seen. And also, be sure to if you have questions about your small business, be sure to go to askjim.biz. It's a knowledge base where you can go to get questions answered right now. So, and just like the other one, it's free as well. Nicole Gelinas is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's with the Manhattan Institute and contributing editor to City Journal. And Nicole, one of the things that you're saying just before we took the break, and I want you to talk about again, is that what a lot of people think is the most pressing issue in New Orleans, are the most pressing issues in New Orleans, when they talk about these things, when the president and all the different politicians and candidates go down to South Louisiana to commemorate the second anniversary of Katrina, they don't actually get to the real one of the real problems that's creating difficulty in rebuilding New Orleans. You were talking, what you think it is extreme crime rate, increase in crime rate down there.
Yes, and just the weekend before the president and some of the Democratic presidential candidates went down there, there was a couple who lived in a neighborhood that had been severely flooded out in eastern New Orleans who were back, who were enjoying an evening on their porch when the gunman came over, forced them into the house, and shot them to death. And this is a robbery crime. It's not drug-related or gang-related or anything like that. And there was a very similar crime in that same neighborhood just a couple of weeks earlier, another home invasion where a couple was killed and their two young children were left unharmed, but obviously now orphans. And these are not these types of crimes have been happening in New Orleans with alarming frequency since Katrina. There was a woman.
Well, New Orleans was known as a high crime city before Katrina, and for decades.
Yes, absolutely, and it is worse today because what has happened is some of New Orleans's middle class citizens have not come back in numbers proportionate to the numbers that the criminals have come back in. And this is a terrible thing because if you want to rebuild your home, I've heard many stories from people who have said, I've gone out and bought all new appliances to replace my flooded out appliances. I've rebuilt pipes and I've gone away for the day and I've come home and everything has been stolen. So it's very demoralizing.
But Nicole, these middle class citizens you're talking about from New Orleans, they're the same people that reelected Ray Nagin.
Well, in some ways, that reelection may have been a fluke. We will see what happens in the next election, another 2.5 years away, because the
election, still got Nagin for 2.5 more years.
Right.
The guy is a dysfunctional basket case as a political leader.
Is how long can New Orleans hold out and keep some of these vital middle class people?
But it's not just the mayor though. I mean the judicial system down there is horrible, isn't it?
Elected district attorney has done a terrible job. The U.S. attorney there has actually been trying to do a good job of using U.S. resources to get some of the worst criminals, particularly drug and gun criminals, off the streets, but he certainly can't do it without the support of the local law enforcement officials.
You kind of make New Orleans sound like a little Baghdad.
The National Guard, the state National Guard, is still patrolling some of these half-empty neighborhoods, but it goes back to the same thing. They cannot do much if they don't have a functional criminal justice system to put the criminals they arrest into. And, you know, the guard shot and killed someone just a few months ago in a threatening altercation that happened in an abandoned house in New Orleans, and that incident got to very little press, although to my knowledge, that's the first time the guard has killed someone and with justification in this case, of course, but that's the first time that has happened in quite a while.
Did you indicate earlier that you think that New York and New Jersey are becoming as dysfunctional politically as New Orleans is?
I think people who live in these states need to understand that the things that they're governors in particular have had a terrible handle in trying to get anything done. And Elliot Spitzer has been in the news. I don't know how much national news he's made, but he has had a very bad first 8 months. And New Jersey has had similar problems over the years with a very ineffective, really laughingstock governor. And that people need to understand that if New Orleans should teach anything, it is that effective government and that being an educated citizenry matters quite a bit. And I think the best thing the federal government could do for New Orleans now is to say, we'll give you another pot of money to keep to completely reform your criminal justice system just to get some of these people back. But it has to go along with Nagin and the DA saying publicly that we understand that our first job is to put criminals in jail so that law-abiding people can come back.
But Nicole, it's not going to take federal money. It's going to take local culture changes.
Oh, yes.
It's going to take state leadership to change the culture down there that's been embedded for centuries, actually.
Oh, yes. We need a local change in attitude.
Absolutely. No question. Hey, Nicole, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
No, Nicole Gelinas, ladies and gentlemen, a fellow with Manhattan Institute and a contributing editor to City Journal. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.